You're very welcome back to Horizons on this, the first day of our Mission Online, Hope Alive. Dr. Michael Conway is joining us tomorrow night on our Mission Talk. On Horizons, we're already a bit familiar with his work because Dennis O'Mahony, over 3 weeks, summarised an article he had in last October's Furrow, looking at clericalism, women in the church, and synodality. Mike, when you talk about the institution crumbling, how do people react?
The biggest reaction I get is a sense of relief that I'm putting language on something that they're experiencing. That, I think, is by far the most powerful reaction I get. And then, if I'm speaking in any kind of forum, I also get a sense of grief, a sense of loss. It may not be verbalized, but there's always that sense that something is dying and that sometimes it's hard to see where the new life is going to be, as it were. That sense of grief and bereavement. I think they're the two major reactions that I get.
And definitely that was the case when you talked on our mission last year. There was a lot of people coming back to us saying they were so relieved to hear it spoken and said. But you can also get reactions from people who pull things out of context, do you find, and think, oh, what are you saying? This is kind of questioning what we have in place.
How any person understands something, that's a reflection of them, as it were. When I speak, I can't determine how somebody else will understand what I say. There is a massive range of personal reactions that, you know, I won't even know about, as it were.
Yeah.
Or anybody who speaks won't know about. I mean, I don't think you can speak in such a way that it would be always absolutely clear what you want to say, and the understanding will be the same for everyone. That doesn't happen in any case. So, I mean, all I'm doing is I'm trying to open up possibilities. And it's up to each person then to make out of what I say something that's helpful to them on their journey of faith. And that can be, of course, disturbing as well. It's not just validation.
And you do a lot of work with priests, and you've worked with priests in the diocese here in Kerry as well. How do they respond to this? Because in a way, their lives are being shaken up in a way they've never... Many are very sad about and don't understand.
I don't think priests are any different from people who have been committed to the life of faith all their lives and who are watching a world that they knew so well dissolve before their eyes. It's probably more traumatic for priests because they commit so much of their lives to the church. If you're highly invested in a particular form of an institution, then it's probably quite traumatic for you to see what's happening right now.
Recently, I was talking to a fantastic man who's done fantastic work all his life, and I asked him how he felt about the changes in the church and the fact that there aren't many priests coming along after him. And he felt profoundly sad about this. Is that what your experience when you're chatting to people?
Certainly, there are many priests, and particularly, I mean, I think it's probably related to age as well. That, I mean, if you have spent your entire life in, wonderful service to people in a particular form of church, and you're watching that whole reality now, as it were, crumble, I mean, that is disconcerting. Although I would say it doesn't undermine the kind of ministry that you had at all, nor the richness of a life of faith in earlier generations. But it does mean that where we are now, the kind of world that we're now in, that the form of church, the expression of ministry, can no longer operate in the same way. That's not necessarily a critique of how things were done in the past, but it is an acknowledgement or a recognition that the older model, as it were, is no longer life-giving for others, and probably not even for yourself now, because you'll have a sense that what you're doing is going nowhere if you continue on in the forms of ministry that were traditional, if you like.
What do you say to people still attending church who want things to stay the same, who want to cling to the older style of church?
That's a very, very difficult phenomenon, as it were, to respond to, because, you know, you can understand why that is. You can understand how deeply destabilizing it is if the core of your being, if you experience the core of your being shook, as it were, from the outside by the world order, and you want to hold on to something to give you a sense of stability. But, I mean, ultimately, that is a false stability. It is not the life of faith. The life of faith is, it's a life, and because it's a life, it's growing, it's moving, it's vibrating, It's doing all the things that life does. It's unpredictable. All that energy that you get around even ordinary, if you like, biological life, you get that same energy around faith life, perhaps even more powerfully. So therefore, movement, change, growth are intrinsic to faith and to faith life. So I would, you know, as firmly and gently as possible, try to open up that kind of understanding and that vision of what faith life is.
Father Michael Conway, I look forward to chatting to you tomorrow night at 8. Let's hear another version of our mission song, Go Out, this time sung by Sean Tracy and Breed Mills, accompanied by Adele Heenan.
Go out to all creation and tell the wonders our God has done.
Sing out to every nation, go sing the stories to everyone. To all creation and tell the wonders our God has done. Sing out to every nation, go sing the stories to everyone.
Go out in peace and justice, share the peace of Christ. Go out in love as one, proclaim the
all creation and tell the wonders our God has done.
Sing out to every nation, go sing the stories to everyone.
Go out in love and kindness, share the living word. Go out as Christ has done, peace to all the world.
Go out to all creation and tell the wonders our God has done.
Sing out to every nation, go sing the stories to everyone.
Go out with hope and mercy, forgiving all you. Seek the truth and witness to the world.
Go out to all creation and tell the wonders our God has done.
Sing out to every nation, go sing the stories to everyone. Go out in joy and beauty, walking with the Lord.
As one in Christ, and sing with all your heart.
Go out to all creation and tell the wonders our God has done.
Sing out to every nation, go sing the stories to everyone.
Dr. Keith Gaynor is another one of our mission speakers, and he's joining us Tuesday night looking at well-being in times of change. Keith, you were telling us last week about your work, which focuses on young adults who are suffering from psychosis, people who are imagining things, imagining people, imagining conditions. Are any of these people coming to you happy in their imaginary world?
Well, I mean, that's definitely possible, but there would be a very small minority. Most people who come to services, you know, are there because they are distressed or that they're not able to do the normal stuff. They used to be able to go to college and go to see their friends, and they've stopped doing that. And they mightn't be distressed, but they have cut themselves off, not going to work, not going to the shops, not doing the normal things. And so that's often when people come in contact with services. But, you know, you're free to believe anything you like. And if you're not distressed by it and you're able to, you know, do all the normal things, then actually maybe you don't come to services at all.
What is your treatment? Are you looking at medication or are you looking at cognitive approaches?
So all of it. There's medication an option. I'm a psychologist, so I do the therapy piece. And then often the family will get some support, and we'll also try and link people in with, get them back into their GAA club, get them back into, you know, work or college or, you know, all those kind of social supports. But what I do is I sit down with people, and you're just two humans, you know, trying to meet someone at where they're at. What's it like to experience this? That must be pretty frightening. How do you react with that? And I would often take a cognitive behavioral approach. But I think the first approach is just on a human level. God, that sounds hard. Okay, tell me a bit more about it. Because often people will have kept this a secret and kept it hidden. There'll be a lot of internal stigma about it. Yeah, this is okay. This is a really difficult thing to happen to you.
Gosh, so interesting. How do we mind our mental health? Because I was interviewing somebody the other day and they just said, mind yourselves. Hmm. What are your recommendations, Keith?
So I think that the great change in the last 20 years is we all realise we have a mental health. We need to mind it. We don't need to be frightened of it, but we need to mind it. And I think COVID really showed us that. That actually, if you take away a few of our normal support, you know, lots of people's mental health really suffered really very quickly. And so this is part of who I am too, how I feel and how I am in the world, how happy I am, that I can't ignore that. And often we keep pushing ourselves, whether we're grandmothers or young people, to, oh no, I have to do this and I have to do the next task and I have to do, and we're looking after everybody else and we're looking after all our responsibilities. And you know, well, am I in there somewhere? And we don't have to be the center of the world, but we have to be in it. And so actually asking ourselves, well, what do I need? How do I feel after that thing? So all the normal challenges that are out there, how am I not feeling about it? And then what do I need? And that it's okay for us. We have permission to go and do the things that we might need. And so that might be, okay, actually, I need not to go and take on all the chores today. I need to put my feet up, have a cup of tea, phone a friend, and go do something positive for me. Historically, we never gave ourselves permission for that.
When I'm watching the news or, you know, Gaza and wars and stuff like that, there's a blackness descends. You kind of think, oh, so helpless in these situations, but it's really depressing. What do you say to that, Keith?
One of the things that's happened in the modern world is we have almost too much news. We know everything that's going on in the world all the time. And the news only ever reports the bad stuff. Please God, at some stage, you know, the situation in Gaza will end. But the news will just report the next war. And so we have a choice there of, okay, I should take an action. So if I'm upset by it, is there something positive I can do? Can I do something with a charity? Can I give time or money or attention that might alleviate some suffering for someone else? And then it's okay to turn it off and say, actually, 9 o'clock every night, I can watch the war in Ukraine and watch the war in Gaza and hear something awful from the court. Or I can read a book and listen to music and say, in my little world, actually, things are okay. And I can't fix all of that. I can do a little, and I should do a little. But after that, it's okay to draw a line and say, no, okay, this is my home, and I'm closing the door, and I'm looking after myself, and I'm doing something nice for me.
You're working in a fascinating area, but very challenging, I would say.
Very enjoyable. When you see people, the change that people can make, and their own bravery and how they bring themselves through it and get back to work and back to college and in relationships, it's very, very satisfying.
I suppose a lot of the people that I'm dealing with, they really struggle to find help, to get help. Mm. Systems seem to work against them.
Yeah. And I think that's the case. And I think that there is a real challenge. And if you've been knocked by mental health or anything else, then actually getting back on the normal track can be really difficult. But I suppose it's always a key focus of what we try to do is get people back on a track. So they're back attending a course or going to work and, you know, and in the normal run of things.
Keith Gaynor, Dr. Keith Gaynor, thank you very much for joining me this morning on Horizons and looking forward to hearing you Tuesday night.
Great. Thanks, Mary.
Hope Alive after the break.